It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where we take a deeper look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today, On Deadline is looking at the ongoing crisis at the southern border, almost a month after a bipartisan bill looking to address the situation was marked dead on arrival in the House. Like most partisan issues, the situation at the border remains unsolved, with Democrats and Republicans pointing fingers instead of offering a solution to the ongoing crisis. The crisis, by the way, has resulted in a historic number of immigrants entering the country, with projections expecting the situation to only get worse this year. Republicans are looking at the issue and blaming President Joe Biden, saying it's a clear sign of his failure in office and inability to take action to secure the country. Even though they shot down a bill that would have offered some support and solution, they say it wouldn't have really fixed any problem. House Speaker Mike Johnson said that the bill would have allowed 5,000 illegal immigrants to enter the country every day, and that it gave automatic work permits to asylum recipients. He and his party, the GOP, declared this to be unacceptable. Democrats are blaming those very same Republicans, saying they would rather use the situation as a political tool to help in the next election cycle instead of actually solving the problem. They've gone as far as to suggest that the reason the bill was shut down was solely because former President Donald Trump wants to use the border as a campaign point against Biden. While both parties seem to be having a who-can-be-louder contest, the issue is continuing to spiral. According to Department of Homeland Security documents sent to Congress and obtained by Axios, by October 1st, the number of migrants living in the country is expected to surge to 8 million, an increase of 167% over the last 5 years. KCBS political analyst Mark Sandilow joined his Odyssey station in San Francisco to discuss asylum seekers and illegal immigration as the situation gets worse.
You know, in one sense, you can argue that the Trump view has already prevailed, because although you did have very big differences out there, both sides now, Donald Trump and his Republican followers and President Biden's Democratic followers, both agree now we need to restrict immigration. Immigration's a problem in the United States. Undocumented immigrants are a drag on the United States. And there's not necessarily facts to back that up. You know, the give me your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, which are the words on the Statue of Liberty. Those are now at this point been forgotten by both parties. But there are differences in how they want to go about it. I mean, Biden has talked about restricting entry, limiting asylum cases, and keeping some asylum applicants out of the United States, which is something the United States historically had never done, but it did it under Donald Trump. Donald Trump, meanwhile, has gone that much further. He rejects what Biden says, and he says that the United States is being overrun by a Biden migrant crime wave, which there is absolutely no evidence of at all. I mean, there's some tragic cases. Of course, there are immigrants who are criminals in the United States. There are religious leaders who are criminals in the United States, and you can always find an example. The most recent was this immigrant, undocumented immigrant, who killed a college student down in Georgia. Absolutely horrific. And what Trump says is, see, this is why we need to keep them out. But it ignores the fact that, immigrants are far, far less likely to commit crimes than American citizens. And clearly there is some xenophobia, which is a big part of this.
Well, Mark, Biden did face a bit of criticism in the analysis, many feeling that he hadn't been to Texas-Mexico border nearly enough since taking office.
I'm not sure what his presence necessarily does. I mean, it highlights his problem. I mean, this has been the fundamental problem with immigration, is that when the economy has been bad, and, it was bad a few years ago, it was bad, 15 years ago as well, people always look for someone to blame. There are studies out this week that have gotten far less attention, suggesting that the reason the United States economy recovered so strongly from COVID, better than much of the world, is because of the enormous influx of migrants. That's both legal and illegal immigrants who took jobs no one else wanted in the United States and pushed the United States to have growth that no one expected. You know, there's always been this debate in this country about, you know, people who come in and do we really want them or not. And at this point, the folks who say we don't want them appear to be winning. And, you know, Donald Trump and what he yesterday he talked about how people are coming into this country. This is what he said. No one can explain this to me. We're allowing millions of people from places unknown. They don't speak languages. They don't speak languages that nobody speaks those languages. They're truly foreign languages. I know, what's that about? I mean, obviously I don't think they're coming over here speaking in tongues. So, I mean, obviously somebody's speaking those language. This is clearly an appeal to people who want to point their fingers at others and say they're to blame whatever country problems a country is having. Joe Biden had defended immigrants. At this point, he's not defending them so much, but he certainly doesn't have solutions that are as draconian as Trump's.
Who's to blame? Is it Biden? Is it Trump? Americans will have to ask and answer this question in the coming months as the election nears and both men remain the top choice for their respective parties. But what's more important than who caused the issue might be who can fix it. According to a Wall Street Journal poll released this week, 65% of respondents disapprove of how Biden has handled securing the southern border, and 66% disapprove of how he's handled immigration. But would the situation be better under Trump? Mark Krikorian, executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, joined Odyssey to share more on what both men could bring to the table.
Okay, tell me what's going on at the border yesterday. You got former President Trump, current President Biden. Are either one really offering a solution that would work long or short term?
Well, in the short term, clearly President Trump was able to stabilize the border when he was president. So, yeah, I think so. Long term, there would have to be a lot more changes, some of which Congress would have to make. But in the short term, there's no question President Trump could stabilize the situation at the border because he did that already once.
What does that look like, a stabilized border?
The numbers are a lot lower. I mean, that's the key issue. And the reason the numbers have exploded, and the numbers exploded as soon as President Biden took over, is that the Homeland Security Department, under his direction, is letting illegal aliens go. Most people who cross end up either immediately or within a few days being let go into the United States. Now, they're let go supposedly with a court date, and they're supposed to show up. And if they don't show up, there will be tough consequences, none of which ever materialize. But if you're let go, that's the goal. People get to where they're going. They'll have some friend or relative or somebody in Chicago or New Orleans or New York or L.A. And when they get there, they'll send a selfie of themselves. Hey, La Migra, let us go. So why don't you guys back home make the trip too? And that's what happens. So you have to stop letting people go. You have to detain them and make sure they get sent home quickly. And if you do that, you can dramatically reduce this flow. There's always going to be some illegal immigration, but not the record, literally unprecedented numbers that we've been seeing over the past 3 years.
So specifically, if Biden were to do what Trump did, or what would that look like? What would he do today? If Biden today woke up and said, you know what, Trump was right. What he did at the border did stabilize things. That's what I'm going to do. He would do what exactly, Mark?
Yeah, it's going to take more than a day. But the first thing he'd do is hold on to illegal immigrants in detention rather than letting them go. And that's going to require more detention space. This administration has asked for progressively less money for detention facilities for illegal immigrants because they don't believe in it. So they're going to have to first ask Congress for money to do it. And, you know, the Republicans in the House will vote for that for sure. And if the president asks for it, the Democrats in the Senate will approve it. And in the meantime, he would have to direct the Defense Department to set up detention facilities, because that's something the Pentagon can do, turn around on a dime, set up, you know, tent facilities to hold people.
Mark, a Gallup poll released this week showing first time since the last decades, Americans now believe immigration is the most important issue facing the United States. With that being said, it's an election year. You would think that is something the Biden administration would want to get on, right? So what is their game here? Do you have any idea?
Well, they can read the polls, too, obviously. And that's why the president chased after Trump and went to the border on the same day, because it was Trump who was set the date and was going. And then the White House said, you know, we can't just let him do that on his own. We have to run after him. And so they had kind of what amounted to the first debate of the presidential campaign, even though they were 300 miles apart.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That poll we previously mentioned from the Wall Street Journal also found that the border and immigration were the biggest issues among voters when it came to the 2024 election. In total, 20% said that the issues combined were the top issue facing the country. Other polls found similar results, with the Monmouth University poll finding that 80% see immigration as a serious problem. Needless to say, the success or failures at the border over the next 8 months will likely play a huge part in who's eventually inaugurated as president come January 2025. To discuss more on the issues voters are most concerned about, John Lewis, a research fellow with the Program on Extremism at George Washington University, joined Odyssey.
A new poll from Reuters Ipsos reveals that political extremism or threats to democracy are a top concern for Americans heading into the polls this election year. Additionally, Joe Biden's Democrats considered extremism by far the top issue, while Donald Trump's Republicans overwhelmingly chose immigration. This stat is a bit surprising to me. Only 21% of respondents selected political extremism as the biggest problem facing the U.S., and that comes ahead of the economy and immigration. And that seems really low to me, 21%. I mean, maybe because I'm a journalist and I'm always looking at it. Maybe the regular public just doesn't see this happening because none of this other stuff happens. You know, immigration, the economy, none of this other stuff happens without democracy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think it also shows how widespread and far-reaching a lot of the conspiracies around extremism have become, right? I mean, when you look at something like immigration, right, that's something that has certainly seen the mainstreaming of conspiracy theories at the Great Replacement in years. The point that it's become commonplace. It's become not necessarily extremism to some people, but just the reality.
There's a long laundry list of concerns for just about everybody, depending on which echo chamber you're inside. So how about the feelings about the economy, despite things improving? Voters are not encouraged.
Yeah, sure. And look, you know, I think when you look at, again, especially from the extremism standpoint, how you see disinformation, how you see misinformation spreading, especially online, especially in those echo chambers around the economy, around immigration, around, you know, the state of this country, right? When you look at how succinctly and how significantly the kind of culture war narratives have spread across this country, you really see how it can touch every single corner of this, including the economy.
Now, I'm a baby boomer. How about the Gen Zs, the Gen Xs, and how are these people getting their information that's skewing them in particular directions?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, look, when you really look a couple years back, you talk a lot about baby boomers, Gen X, really being impacted by Facebook. I think we still continue to see that to some extent, but especially when you look at recent flashpoints, whether it's Israel, Hamas, Russia, Ukraine, you know, any of these big events, especially for Gen Z, you know, again, not saying any secrets here, but, you know, you're seeing a lot of TikTok, a lot of these kind of short, viral online social media clips that, as you've seen, unfortunately, time and time again, are no more, you know, moderated content-wise than a lot of what we're seeing on the traditional social media platforms.
The issues facing our country are like a lazy Susan, constantly rotating through whatever draws our attention. Last year, voters were left worried by the economy, as experts warned of the impending recession that still hasn't come. Now, with the border situation growing, the economy is taking a back seat in the minds of Americans. But it's still there. In order to stay up to date on everything going on in the country leading up to the November election, stay tuned to On Deadline, where we cover what's important. This show is produced by Joe Heady, Christy Strouser, and Myron Kaplan. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.